We have a leadership meeting today at 6 o'clock, so if you're an elder, deacon, or staff, just be here for our meeting at 6. It's really important as we're forecasting for the future of the church. I want to let you also know that the first men's breakfast is this Saturday at 9 a.m. I want to encourage you, if you're a man or you know a man, tell a man, you know, come and be here for this. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a time of fellowship. It's going to be a time of eating good food, bacon and eggs and hash browns, biscuits. It's going to be a full hearty meal. So if you're a man and you like to eat, you know, come and be part of this. It's going to be a great time to fellowship with other men. And then we're going to have like a little short devotional, but it's going to be very, very easy and very easy to invite other men that you might know. So if you know other men, you know, who aren't coming to church or they're not connected, or even if they are, we had, when we were in Holland and West Shore, we had people from other churches coming to our men's breakfast. Invite them to come join us this Saturday. The one caveat though, please, if you could, sign up out at the Welcome Center. There's a sign up. Let us know that you're coming so that we can know how much food to prepare. And if you want to join the team that's cooking, which is right now me, you could see me after service, and you know, we could talk about that, and you can join me Saturday morning a little bit before 9 as we prepare for this. It's going to be a great time. I promise you'll be blessed. I want to let you know that Faith and Family is taking a break for the summer right now, but the youth group is not. They are going to be getting together for a swimming study. The June dates are 3rd, 10th, and 17th. The 24th, they're all going to camp. But from 6 to 8 p.m., they're going to get together at Miranda's house and swim and have good food and a good study. And if you're a youth or you know a middle school or a high school youth, invite them. Tell them to come. Bring a friend with you. It's going to be an amazing, awesome time. Also, the kids, for our children's ministry, the youngins, they're going to be getting together on June 10th and the 24th, and July 8th and the 22nd here over at the other building, 6:15 to 7:30. It's going to be a great time for them as well, so make sure you put that on your calendar too. I want to let you know we will be opening our Bibles this morning. If you do not have a Bible or you forgot to bring your Bible, there are Bibles in the chairs in front of you. Go ahead and grab one of those, and you can follow along with the message with the QR code on the screen. So, have you ever felt like your prayers just kind of bouncing off the ceiling? You ever pray to God and you feel like it's just like, you're calling God up, but like no one's answering. You know, prayer can be complicated sometimes. I think sometimes we complicate it. Some of us, we were taught to pray, but we were never really taught how to talk to God. Some people, they pray when life gets hard, and some of us pray, but deep down we are asking ourselves, is God really listening to what I'm praying? Is He really there? And if we're being really honest, some of us might be saying, JR, I don't pray much because I'm not really sure if I'm doing it right. Now, here's the thing I want us to get this morning, and that's this. Prayer is not a speech to perform. It is a relationship to pursue. You see, God is not sitting in heaven grading your grammar. He's not waiting for you to use the right tone or the right posture or the right church words. He wants your heart. You see, prayer is incredibly important. And it's really, really important for us here at FCC, especially as we are seeking to go and claim Perry for the kingdom of God. As we are going out there, we know that Satan is the prince of the air. He has a little bit of dominion out there. And when we start going out there and we start trying to reach people and we start trying to tell people that their lives can be victorious and that they can be transformed and that they can have joy in their lives and that they can have purpose, there's going to be some hostility. There's going to be some resistance. And we need to go into that with God at the front. We need to start with Him. 1 Thessalonians says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this morning and next week as well, we're going to talk about that part in the middle, pray continually. As a matter of fact, why don't we just go ahead and do that right now? Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open up your word this morning, as we talk about talking, that you would just open our hearts and our minds and whatever preconceived notions, whatever things we have in our head, that you would speak truth to us and move us closer to you. For that is what prayer is all about. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so prayer, we get this. We already kind of know what prayer is, but we get caught up in all the dynamics of prayer. You know, should I stand? Should I kneel? Should I close my eyes? Should I bow down? Should I open my eyes? Should I raise my hands? Should I keep my hands folded? Do I use fancy words? Do I use scripture? Should I use a special prayer? I mean, there are so many prayers out there. There's there's the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A Sunday school class was memorizing that one time, and one of the little kids said, Our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name? And you know, we laugh at that because it's a sweet reminder of a child's faith. But I wonder how many of us as adults were kind of asking the same thing. God, how do you know my name? Do you even know I'm here? I mean, there's like billions of people. Do you know that I'm here? Well, I want you to know this morning that God does know your name. He's got you engraved on the palm of His hand. And what we read in 1 Thessalonians is not a suggestion. It's a divine command. The Bible says, pray continually. And that means that prayer is not just a luxury for the super spiritual. In fact, it's a matter of life and death for the believer. You know, millions of people today. It's not a hyperbole, it's not an exaggeration. Millions of people today are starving spiritually. Not because God is withholding His grace, but because they've never learned to open their hearts and simply speak to the lover of their souls. So, you know, we got the Lord's Prayer. There's also the child's first bedtime prayer. It's what I like to call the starter prayer. I think we all had a variation of this. I'll tell you my variation. It might be a little bit different than yours, but my variation was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray to Lord my soul to take. And then there's also the Serenity Prayer. Who all here knows the Serenity Prayer? You might have a plaque or seen a plaque. If you want to say it with me, you can. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But did you know that that's not the full prayer? I never knew that. I never knew that. All the recovery programs, AA and stuff, this is the prayer that they pray. That's the prayer that they pray. That's it. But there's more to that prayer, and I never knew this until we had a recovery program at Midland Christian Church in our first ministry. We started Celebrate Recovery, which is a recovery program for people where your higher power is actually Jesus Christ. And I learned what the rest of this prayer was. So if you never heard the rest of the prayer, here it is. It's pretty amazing. So it ends with here, and the wisdom to know the difference, and then it continues. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, as supremely happy if you forever in the next. Amen. So, all those prayers have a place. The Lord's Prayer teaches us how to approach God. The Child's Prayer reminds us that prayer can be simple. And the Serenity Prayer reminds us to surrender what we cannot control. But we don't want to miss this here, is that a prayer can be memorized and still not be from the heart. A prayer can be messy and still be heard by God. Because prayer is not magic words. Prayer is not some sort of spiritual performance. Prayer is not trying to impress God. Prayer is simply coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am. So the question, I guess, for us is, should we follow some sort of prescribed form of prayer? You've probably heard these prescriptions for prayer before. Should we praise Him first and then present our requests? Or should we present our requests first and then end with praise? And what if we forget someone or we forget something? I mean, what then? It can be very, very confusing. It can seem very complicated sometimes. Maybe you feel a lot like the guy in this video.
Joel Carpenter is a new Christian, so to help him pray, we've hired that super pastor guy you see on TV.
God, please help my marriage. We're just really struggling right now.
Oh, Heavenly Father, He who has created all things, makes the sun and moon rise at His command. I beseech You, take this woman that You've given to me as a helpmate, and bring her to her senses, that we might abide together forever in a purpose-driven marriage.
God, I'm really frustrated at work. Help me find a new job.
I ask You now, in this area of employment, Thee who gives me the sustenance, in an employer fashion, please guide me to something, if it be Your will, that would bring You glory.
My kids are driving me crazy, and I don't know what to do. You just help me out.
You have blessed me also with many young saplings, and I ask at this day that You would help me and my helpmate to raise them in the way of Your word.
Amen, God.
And now I end this time with You, Lord, bowing before You, giving You all that You deserve in sacrifice and in sacrament. Let it be known that the Alpha Omega is pleased. Amen.
Godco, real people, real prayers.
Okay. So let's get right down to it. Prayer is nothing more than just talking to God. In the simplest of terms, prayer is just talking to God. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that You be with me as I try to talk to these people about prayer. Tell me what to say and tell me when to shut up. And may You get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. That was it. I just prayed. It was as simple as that. Didn't have to be eloquent. Doesn't have to be this amazing thing. It's just saying, Lord, help me. I was talking honestly with my Lord and Savior. He isn't looking for me to be talking like that guy on the video. Oh, Lord, I beseech Thee, come before Thou us now. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. When I say prayer is simple, I don't mean prayer is small or insignificant. Prayer is simple enough for a child to do, but powerful enough to move the heart of heaven. It's simple enough to whisper while you're driving in the car, but powerful enough to carry you through the valley of despair. So this morning, I want to take some time to look at three reasons why we should pray. Three reasons why we should pray. The first reason we should pray is simply because Jesus prayed. So Jesus is God, and yet He prayed. That should stop us for a moment. Take a look on the screen. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Look at those words. Very early, while it was still dark, a solitary place. You see, prayer was not something that Jesus squeezed in when life slowed down. Prayer was where Jesus started. And maybe for some of us, that's the first change that God is calling us to make. Not a complicated change, not a 2-hour prayer meeting every morning. Just start with Him. Before the phone, before the news, before the schedule, before the stress, before the mess, start with your Father. Now listen, as Christians, Jesus is our example. And if Jesus did it, there's probably good cause for us to do it too. You know, when I was in the Air Force, I was a firefighter in the Air Force. I put fires out, and that was my job. And I knew what my job was. There was no doubt. Save lives and protect property. And when I would go into a fire, I would look for people to save and fire to put out. Pretty simple, right? But you know what? They also wanted me to carry this radio with me. And why? I mean, why would they want me to carry a radio? Who do they need me to talk to? Just save lives and put out fire. Caveman stuff. Anyone can figure that out, right? But I had this radio I had to carry with me to communicate back to the truck and to the on-scene command. Did they not trust me? Did they not think I could handle the situation? I mean, shoot water at fire. I mean, did I need to report that? I am now aiming the hose. Now I'm opening the nozzle. Water is starting to... Oh, wait a second. Where's the water? Sure, they trusted me. But sometimes they could see something I could not. You see, they were outside the scene. They got to look at the big picture. Sometimes they would encourage me. Sometimes they would say, the fire's almost out. Keep it up. Relief is on the way. We're sending in another crewman. Now, obviously, Jesus, He knew what He was there to do and how to do it. But He kept those lines open with the Father. And He wants us to follow His example. We aren't here to just blindly go into the fire with no other instructions besides put water on fire. Because sometimes fire spreads. Sometimes you get caught in the middle of the fire. And sometimes we need someone outside the scene, like God. Someone much bigger who can see the whole picture. I mean, think of it. If Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God, felt such a desperate need to cry out to the Father in the early hours of the morning, how much do you and I need to pray? He was about to face the agonizing reality of the cross. He was going to bear the sins of the whole world, and yet His lifeline was prayer. And if the Savior of mankind could do nothing without the Father, what makes you and I think that we can walk into the fires of this life in our own strength? We cannot do it. We need the vertical connection to heaven. And that is prayer. Prayer keeps the line open. Not because God loses track of us. Not because God needs updates. But because we need to stay connected to the One who sees what we cannot see. You and I, we're inside the smoke. God sees the whole scene. We see our spouse yelling in our face. We see the doctor giving us a bad health diagnosis. We see the pink slip. We see the statement in our bank. But God sees the bigger picture. You and I, we see the moment, but God sees the mission. You and I, we see the flames around us, but God sees the way out. And isn't it nice to know that our Father in heaven is looking down on us and He's ready to help us in our time of need? The book of Hebrews says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And that leads us to the second reason we pray. God wants a relationship with us. All right, it's time for our Slurpee verse. I always call it this, and I know that you guys have no idea what Slurpees are because you have been... You guys don't have 7-Elevens down here, so you really struggle with that. But 7-Elevens are convenience stores. It's where the original Slurpee or slushy or, you know, the Coke or strawberry or cherry slushies that you get at your stores, 7-Eleven began them. I don't know if that's true, but we're going to go with that. And you know, growing up, we had 7-Elevens all over the place, and those were called Slurpees. So I call this my Slurpee verse, because it's Matthew 7:11, but also because it's a treat to read. Look at this. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, you're going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you're going to give him a snake? I love how Jesus says this. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Key words. Ask. Seek. Knock. Are you asking? Are you seeking? Now, this isn't, you know, like the health and wellness gospel where, you know, you just ask and God's just going to give it to you like that. It's got to be within His will. But I wonder how much of us are asking. You know, we talk about marriage a little bit because Carrie and I, we do marriage counseling from time to time, and so many couples, their prayer is, you know, just help us through this. I know you're not going to... I mean, you talk to couples and they're like, well, you don't know my spouse, or you don't know this situation, or maybe it's your job, or you don't know my kids, or you don't know my parent, or whatever. So they're not even asking. If I go to Levi and I ask him for $100, he's not going to give it to me. Are you? You okay? Can you get Levi? Okay, can you give me $100 later? Okay, next week. This is great. This is on camera too. Who's next? Tim. No, but we don't even ask. We're just like, Lord, if you can do this. How many times do we pray that to the Lord? Lord, if you can do this. Like, I don't know, God, are you strong enough to... He can do whatever He wants to do. But do we even ask? Do we even seek His will? Do we knock? Do we ask Him to come to us? Now, don't miss the heart of Jesus here. He doesn't say, how much more will your boss give you? He doesn't say, how much more will your judge give you? He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, that kind of changes the way we pray. We're not praying to a stranger. We're not praying to a cold ruler. We're not praying to a distant force or a God who's so far away and we're so insignificant. We are praying to our heavenly ruler, our heavenly master. We're praying to our heavenly Father. Now, some of you might be thinking, I do pray, JR, but I keep getting a busy signal or a no dial tone or the number has changed. You know, I remember when I went into the Air Force and I went into boot camp, you know, no matter how tough you are, I feel like, you know, everyone I've talked to, like, boot camp is like the worst thing at the time, right? It's the worst thing. Unless you had a really, really rough childhood, you know, it's the first time that you're away from family, you're in boot camp, and it's horrible. And when I got to boot camp at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, they sent us a week early. So we had to wait for our other flight to come in. So I was there for like an extra week in boot camp for no reason. Like, didn't count. It was just an extra week of yelling and screaming. And because of that, it wasn't an official week. I didn't get my phone call. You know, the first day you get there, after you get there, the next day, within 24 hours, you're supposed to get a phone call to call home, let them know that you made it there. Well, I didn't get that phone call until a week later. So then I picked up the phone, I got on the phone, I called, and I got this message. The person you are calling has moved. Don't ever call here again. Bye-bye. Well, they didn't quite say it that way, but that was the message I got. I'm like, what is going on here? Well, my mom, you know, my parents were divorced and stuff. My mom was dating this guy. I guess once I left, it was their chance to, like, they moved to, like, a new place with this other guy now. I'm like, what? I'm like, what's going on here? And then my mom told me, she said, you know, they were supposed to say, here is the forwarding number, and they were supposed to send it to you, but they didn't. And I was like heartbroken. I was like, man, I'm like, everybody's gone. I'm stuck here. And I called and it was like, ah, it's such a horrible situation. So I understand sometimes when you feel like there's nobody there, nobody's listening, but I need you to understand this. God's number isn't going to change. And he's not going on vacation either. Take a look at what it says. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is not sleeping. But maybe we feel like he is. Or maybe we feel like he's just not listening. Maybe we feel like he's taking his good old time. When I was in the Air Force and I was in Arizona, I met this guy, Bill Sanders, and he was a strong believer and I was not. He took me to church. I went with him a few times, but I was living a single Air Force guy, non-Christian lifestyle. And then I met my soon-to-be wife and was living that lifestyle and wasn't a believer. Many years later, about 15 years later, I called Bill up to tell him that I was now a pastor. And I found him. He lives in Washington State, I think, Washington. And I called him up, and he said that he always knew that that was what was going to happen. He had been praying for me. And I thought that he was going to be a pastor, but he goes, no, I knew that you were going to be a pastor one day. I'm like, how did you know that? He's like, no, I did. He goes, and I was praying for you. So thank you for letting me know. You know, if I would not have been able to contact him, he'd still be wondering if any of his prayers for me got through. But whether he knew it or not, they did. You know, some of our prayers, they're answered quickly. Some prayers are answered slowly. Some are answered differently than we expected. And to be honest, some prayers may not make sense until eternity. But delayed does not mean denied. Say that again. Delayed does not mean denied. Quiet does not mean absent. Waiting does not mean God has walked away. And that's why prayer has to become more than a moment. Sometimes we may go 15 years, like my friend Bill, before seeing an answer to prayer. Sometimes we might go our entire lives like Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. By the time the 12 tribes of Israel were formed, Abraham was long gone. Yet Abraham prayed and set up altars to God all over the place. He remained faithful. And this leads us to our key point for today, and that's this. Prayer is a lifestyle, not an event. Prayer is a lifestyle, not an event. It's about relationship, not results. Now listen, I understand results matter. I mean, we pray because we believe that God can move. We pray because God heals. We pray because God provides. We pray because God opens doors. But if the only reason I pray is to get what I want, then I'm not seeking God. I'm seeking His hand, but God wants us to seek His face. And when you seek His face, you begin to trust His hand, even when you do not understand His timing. Let me ask you a question. Just think about it and answer it in your head. Do you talk to your parents? Some of you do, some of you don't. Do you talk to your kids? Some of you do, some of you don't. Do you talk to your friends or family much? If you never spoke to your spouse or children, how deep would that relationship be? Some of you might be experiencing that now. God is interested in investing in a relationship with us. It's not just about us going to Him. Remember, He first came to us. We love because He first loved us. The second reason we pray is because God wants a relationship with us. He wants to talk with us. And the third reason is because we need prayer. We need prayer. We need prayer. Luke 19, turn to Luke 19, 37 through 40. Luke 19, 37 through 40. When He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. We need to pray. God doesn't need us to pray. He desires it from us. But if we did not worship Him, the stones would cry out. The rocks. Prayer is important for us because we have a hope to cling to. I don't know about you. But personally, I feel sorry for those people who are sitting around with candles praying to a fat statue of Buddha on their mantle. We pray to a living God. A God who listens and who is worthy to be praised. A God who came down seeking us when we were running from Him. Look around our world today. People are filled with anxiety. They're filled with fear. And I don't say what I said earlier lightly. They're filled with anxiety and they're praying with candles to a statue. They're filled with anxiety and they're reading their horoscope. They're filled with hopelessness and they're looking for hope in all the wrong things. They're looking for peace in politics. Looking for peace in money. Looking for peace in pleasure. And they're coming up empty. We don't need more programs. We need prayer. In fact, we need a program of prayer. We need a spiritual awakening in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, and in our nation. And that awakening always, always begins on our knees. We need prayer because without it, we are utterly powerless against the storms of this life. You see, when we pray, something changes on the inside of us. It shifts our perspective from our problems to our Father, to our Provider. You might be facing a mountain today. Maybe in your finances. Maybe in your health. Or a relationship. But when you step into prayer, you aren't begging God to do something He doesn't want to do. You are thanking Him that He is already working behind the scenes on your behalf. Do you know that prayer is how we release the worry? It's how we shake off the negative voices of the world. It's how we tune our hearts into God's frequency of hope and victory. And friends, that's where I want us to land this morning. Next week, we're going to talk about how we should pray. But some of you came in here today carrying worry that has been weighing you down all week. Some of you have been listening to voices that are not of God. Voices of fear. Voices of shame. Voices of failure. Voices that say you are too far gone. God is not listening. You have messed up so much. You should have this all figured out by now. But my friends, that is not the voice of the Father. God is not calling you to perform. He's not asking you to impress Him with polished words. He's inviting you to seek Him with your whole heart. So maybe this morning the prayer you need to pray is not long. Maybe it's not fancy. Maybe it's not polished. Maybe it is simply, Father, I need You. Maybe it's, Lord, I have been carrying this too long. Maybe it's, God, I have been listening to the wrong voices. Maybe it's, Jesus, I need to come home. And if you've never opened your heart to His love and grace, today could be a turning point for you. Because prayer is not just talking towards heaven. Prayer flows out of a relationship with God. And Scripture is crystal clear, no matter what the world says, no matter how we try to sugarcoat it. Sin separates us from God. No amount of religious language can fix that. No amount of good deeds can wash that away. No amount of church attendance can save your soul. But Jesus can. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. He lived without sin. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And on the third day, God raised Him from the dead. And today, He is calling you to come to Him. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But calling on the Lord is not just saying words while keeping your life closed to Him. Scripture calls us to believe in Jesus. Scripture calls us to repent of sin. Scripture calls us to confirm Him and confess Him as Lord. And Scripture calls us to be immersed into Christ. Peter said it this way in the day the church began. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you are outside of Christ today, don't just think about prayer. Come to the one who makes prayer possible. Come to Jesus. Turn from your sin. Confess Him as Lord. Be buried with Him in baptism. And rise to walk in new life. If you don't know Him and if you don't have that relationship with Him, don't leave today wondering where you stand with God. And if you'd like to know more about this God we're talking about, if you think you might want to have a relationship with Him, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'll be in the back after service. See me. And for those of you who are already in Christ, let's not leave here treating prayer like a religious idea we agree with, but we do not actually live. This week, let's make it a point to actually pray. As a side note, whenever Karen and I do talk to married couples who claim to be Christians, in fact, you don't need to even answer this right now out loud. I'll just ask you now. All of you who are married right now, let me ask you this question. If you're a Christian and you're married to your spouse, how often do you pray with your spouse? How often do you pray with your spouse about your home, about your marriage? We tell couples this, you know, you invited God to the wedding. Now invite them to the marriage. So many Christian couples. I'm a Christian and I'm married, but I have never prayed with my wife. I've never prayed with my husband. I've never prayed with my spouse. But I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that He hears me. I believe that He loves me. But I'm not going to talk to Him with my spouse. I don't know. It's something to think about. Do we just agree with the Bible in theory? I want to encourage you to put it into practice this week. Pray. Take some time to pray. Even on the way home. As you're driving home with your spouse, pray with them. Lord, I hope he doesn't preach like this again. I don't know. Whenever you want to pray, talk to your spouse. With God, the two of you, talking together with God. Not because you have all the right words. Not because you finally feel spiritual enough. And not because life has fallen apart and prayer is your last resort. Pray because Jesus prayed. Pray because your Father wants a relationship with you. Pray because you need Him. Pray in the morning. Pray in the car. Before the hard conversation, pray when the worry rises up. Pray when you feel thankful. Pray when you feel weak. Pray when you have words. Pray when you don't have words. Pray when all you can say is, Lord, help me. Because my friends, prayer is not, it's not a speech to perform. Prayer is a relationship to pursue. And I want you to know that when you start to pursue that relationship with God, it just changes. It changes everything. I think you'd be surprised what God wants to do in your life. Just ask Him. Seek Him. Go to Him. He's waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave from this place and go to lunch or go home or wherever we're going, I pray that we don't just leave here the same way we came in here. Even if we don't go out and become like these prayer warriors right now, I pray that we would at least leave this room with a stronger understanding that you want to have a relationship with us and that you want to converse with us. And I pray that we would test that out and that we would just take a chance. Take a chance and talk to you. Tell you what's on our mind. I pray that we would seek you. Not just with a religious duty, but that we would truly seek you and what you want to do in our lives. Because once we invite you into our life, that's when everything begins to transform. That's when everything transforms in our relationship, in our marriages, in our workplace, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with the world around us. And I pray that we would seek you with all that we are. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please stand with me now as we close in worship?